Because this is the focus of the message. This is what we concentrate on as we share together how good the taste of the Lord is. It's a passage with huge implications for us today as a church, in particular at this very particular moment in the history of our church, 155 years of Baptist witness in the city. As I was looking through the history of the church, as in September, beginning of the end of September, beginning of October, 1867, whatever it was, our church has begun to meet in order to form a community that is all inclusive, full of grace, that others may come and taste and see how the Lord is. A time for us to give thanks to God for those very faithful people over the almost centuries, but over the decades, who have been staying strong in the grace of God to affirm His truth, as we just sang, and be a witness to Christ. Paul says the very critical things that you and I need to do in order to grow in Christ. I've seen people in ministry over the years who have come to Christ, have received Him as the Lord and Savior, and year in, year out, they remain at that level of salvation, but have never grown in maturity in Christ. And Peter comes in this passage and he tells us, I'll tell you what the secret is of growing and becoming more like Christ. And he lists some of the things here. So I want to go very briefly and very quickly through them this morning. You can see those two things quite clearly in verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 speaks of five wrong attitudes that stops us from becoming mature disciples of Jesus Christ. Very wrong attitudes that are not just in the world out there, but sadly, they are also in our churches too. They are also in our lives too, as Christians who have probably been walking with God for many, many years. When Peter says, "Rid yourself," let me put that verse up here. "Rid yourself." When he uses that word, it's a verb that it says stripping off all your clothes. He really uses a very graphic language in the Greek manuscript. Take everything off. Let everything be revealed. Get rid yourself of all. Basically, all. He means all. And then he goes to highlight as what we as a Christian usually have or still carry with us from our previous life before receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. We still carry with us some clothing that we bring in, or to use a agricultural language because it's harvest, some of the seeds that we still water and grow today in our lives. And he goes to highlight those five things: malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. Now, the word malice, I'm going to go very briefly through them, refers to evil actions that really characterizes the pagan world at that very time. Usually include occult, homosexuality, false witness. There were two others. I should have written them down. They'll come back to me. But basically refer to that kind of age. And I wonder if they're still relevant today, here and now, which I think they really are. Malice is the desire to hurt someone with words and deeds. It speaks of smoldering resentment that causes you to lash out at others. Usually when I get tired, you don't want to come near me. We tend, when we're tired, when we're stressed, when we are under pressure, to lash out. And usually what comes out of us is what is usually we've been storing for a long time into our hearts. And sometimes there is this malice, the desire to hurt someone with words. It's so much easier today to put down than to praise someone, to criticize, to gossip, than to encourage and bring comfort. It's so much easier. And Peter says, don't do it. If you want to grow spiritually in Christ, don't practice malice. Don't hurt anyone by words. Second, he says And I think he understood very well the word they said, because the word they said in Greek means to use a bait in order to attract. Now, Peter, if you remember, he was a fisherman. And I think that's why he uses this word here, deceit, very, very cleverly, which really means to bait the hook. You put something on it. It's what you do when you play a trick in order to get your way. It's control, it's manipulation, it's lying, it's false witness, whatever it is, to get our own way. And Peter says, do not practice deceit, lying or whatever. Then the third word is the word hypocrisy. It comes from the Greek word theater, which means to put a play, to display, to act in front of multitudes of people, and refers to the practice of putting on a mask. Peter says, just be yourself. Don't put on a mask. Don't deceit. Whether we do it through behavior, whether we do it through hidden personalities, whether we do it through lying, whether we're doing through whatever it is. In church, I look like a saint to you. When I go home, I'm a real, really, really, real sinner. Don't deceit. Be yourself, Peter encourages. If you want to grow as a disciple in Jesus Christ, don't practice malice. Don't practice deceit. Don't practice hypocrisy. A hypocrite is someone who pretends to be someone else or something that he is not. Have you seen that in churches? No, we are holy people. Of course not. Envy, it goes to the other one. Envy was one of the seven deadly sins. One writer called envy the last sin Christians will confess because it is so ugly. It really is. Envy is jealousy at the success, usually the success of others, especially in our materialistic world. We want to keep up with the Joneses. Sorry, Peter Jones. But we want to keep up with the Joneses, don't we, in today's world, whether it's cars, homes, whatever it is. When we don't have that kind of stuff, we blame God that he loves us less because that's why we don't have more. And that gives place to the bitterness, to the root of bitterness to grow within us. Envy is terrible. It really is terrible. It takes the joy out of you. It damages your relationship with other people because you can't love them anymore if you envy them. It's impossible to love them anymore. And then the last term that Peter uses there is slander, slander of every kind. Translates a Greek word that literally means to speak down, to really look down on someone. It includes gossip, rumors, passing along a bad report, using sometimes humor to tear others down. Terrible comments about unkind words, that kind of stuff. Slander, it's very demoralizing to people. And it's also to all souls too, the ones who practice it. Slander is usually the fruit of envy, because as I said before, if I envy someone, I cannot love them. And because I cannot love them, I've got to do something about that, and I usually slander them. I usually speak very badly about them. And because it is almost always done behind the back of another person, it is the seedbed of hypocrisy. See how they all link together? And it leads back to deceit, because then we have to act differently if we lie and if we talk someone badly about someone badly. And of course, it leads to this incredible, terrible sin of malice, which that desire to hurt someone is perpetuated by all those four. And it's a vicious, terrible circle that we are in. And Peter says, do not do it. Do not do it. If you want to grow spiritually, do not do it. But why does he say this? Because I find that very, very, very interesting, almost demoralizing in a sense. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. Those rotten attitudes have no place within the Christian disciple's life. As such, they are what I think relational sins. They destroy our horizontal relationship with one another. That's what they do. As long as I feed on that stuff and I feed them within my life and ministry, I have no proper, genuine relationships with people. I always have to be wearing a mask. I always have to hide myself. I always have to gossip and then remember what I gossip so I can hide away from it. And those are all relational sins. All relational sins. And Peter says, let's consider the second thing that he talks about. He says this in verse 2, and he challenges two grave, pure spiritual milk. Pure spiritual milk. Now, Peter means that we are able to be as hungry for God's word as a baby is for its mother's milk. I want to make a testimony here. I can do it, but please do not tell my wife I'll be in trouble. She is not here this morning, so I can just tell you. I'm sure it'll be safe with you. Our Josh, first boy, he was breastfed till he was 4 years old. You think that's a long time. You wait till you hear how long Daniel breastfed. I'm not going to say it because I don't want to embarrass him, but he was longer than 4 years. It is the image that Peter uses here is not that we have to keep on drinking milk. That's not what it's all about. It's the desire for God's word to grow, to know it, to root it, to feed it and nourish it within us so much that it needs to be like a baby craves for milk. I remember the days when, because Sandra had to work all the time, she only had 3 months maternity holiday stuff, and really she had to work all the time. And I stayed with them at home usually with both of them for a year or so while running churches and things. I remember when she was coming home, especially Daniel, he was waiting at the door. He knew within his body was this clock built in that he knew when about 5:30 comes that he will just sit there at the door with his toys waiting for his mom to come to have a drink. Is that kind of illustration that Peter uses here? You should be so much eager, waiting to be nourished by the word of God in today's world of challenges, that if you do that, if you feed on the word of God and the kingdom values that he portrays in his love for us, then you will deal away with deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and stuff like that. My brothers and sisters, what Peter says is that our horizontal relationship with one another, it really affects our vertical relationship with God. It really does. It really, really does. There is a verse in 1 John 4:20. I didn't put it up. I'll just read it up to you because you will know it already. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all that stuff, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, this kind of relationship, horizontal, yeah, whom he has seen, he cannot love God, this relationship, whom he has never seen. Our relationship this way affects the other one this way. It really does. It really does with God. You know, we all do it. I have 2 or 3 people in our church who they are so loving to their pastor that almost every month they give me McDonald's vouchers. Ooh, they are a good taste to my belly, whatever. Anyway, but sometimes we go for junk food because it's nice and easy. It is there. It is satisfying somehow, but we know it's not good. So what? We still have it. It's the same with deceit, with the hypocrisy and envy. Peter says, don't do it. Crave for the spiritual milk, which is God's word in you, and those things will be unrooted, will disappear from there. Now, let me tell you this. When we are angry and bitter, when we begin to envy others, when we criticize those around us, when we pass along all sorts of rumors about people, when we respond harshly to those who bother us, when we lose our temper, when we answer hastily, when we judge others harshly, when you answer to your spouse in an ungodly manner with cruel words, when you are impatient and irritable towards your, I don't know, children, brothers, neighbors, whoever they are, your boss. Don't do it, you'll be in trouble if you do it before your boss. But when we act like that, it is always because we have forgotten the goodness of the Lord for us. And Peter comes and reminds us, and he says, come and see and taste that the Lord is good. But even more than that, Peter says, look at that verse there. Crave that spiritual milk so that by it you may what? Grow in your salvation. Whenever I hear people with deceit, with hypocrisy, with envy, whenever I see it in myself, I come before the Lord and I'm thinking, yeah, I have not become more like Christ. I have not achieved or reached yet that maturity that Christ wants me to be like. And when you forget that goodness, it's very easy to become critical and judgmental of others. Your bitterness will kill your appetite for the pure spiritual milk that Christ gives through his word. You can't have both at the same time. It's impossible. The horizontal is the key to the vertical, and the vertical is the key to the horizontal. And in all of this, it's all about God, really. It's all about my relationship with God. Remember his goodness to you. You have tasted that the Lord is good. Why then do you practice that stuff? Peter says. You have tasted his mercy, his goodness, his faithfulness to you. Why do you grumble then that you haven't got enough? Why do you still slander your brother or sister or your friend or neighbor, whatever? You have tasted the grace of God in your life. You were like that. That's what Peter reminds us of this morning. You were like that. You've forgotten. But now that you taste it, continue to nourish on his word. Remember his goodness to you, and you will start treating people with true, brotherly, genuine love. And then you will start, and this is the key, then you will start to grow and be more like Christ. That's Peter's message to us today. And it's all about God once again, and our relationship with one another in it too. Let's just pray together.